We're going to continue in John 4. Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I had ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how ripe the fields are for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is way too much going on in this passage. Okay, there are way too many things. I could preach probably the entire season of Lent on this passage, or start now and get you out of here just in time for kickoff. We won't be quite that mean to you today. We know about Samaritans. We know that they're the leftovers from the Northern Kingdom. We know that as only family can be mad at one another, Jews and Samaritans are mad at one another. We know that water is really, really important in a desert environment. Come to think of it, we know that water is really, really important pretty much anywhere. To have access to clean, safe drinking water is a really big deal, and I don't really think I need to lecture this congregation on that, do I? We know that the disciples are generally clueless, right? All of those things happen in this story. The piece I want you to hear is where it happens. It happens in the Samaritan town of Sychar, which is at the site of Jacob's well. If you remember Jacob, Old Testament guy, he gets sent from his family to find a wife. And he meets a lovely lady at a well. Her name is Rachel. There's a long, convoluted story about how long it takes him to get married to Rachel. But there's two pieces to that narrative. One is that it happens at a well, and two is that she's family. Remember, he is sent to his uncle's family. And I think if that's the lens that we read this passage through, we hear something different. Jesus shows up at a well looking for family. Most of the Jews wouldn't expect family to be Samaritans. Most of the Samaritans wouldn't expect the Jews to be family. So that works both directions. But he is willing to talk to this woman. She's a woman that we have always painted with a rather dubious brush in our biblical interpretation. She's had 5 husbands, and the one she's with now is not her husband. And she's there at the well in the middle of the day, and if she was a good, honest woman, she'd be at the well at the very start of the day. So we broad brushstroke tar all over this lady. This is one of those stories this is one of those pieces of ground that we go over time and time again because we need to be reminded of it. How many miraculous stories in Scripture have to do with a well? Right? Got Jacob. Remember Jacob? We just talked about him. I hope you still remember. We've got this story. We have a man outside the pool of Bethsaida. You have water. You have that wonderful description in the Psalms repeatedly that we are to grow up like trees planted by the waters. We have what we just sang, that we are to be as deer who pant for the water. We are to be like that for God. It's a huge image. Why do we need to keep on using this image? We're a little forgetful. Simplest reason, we're a little forgetful. The next part of this story is that Jesus is with people who know the story, right? Samaritans, Northern Kingdom. They sort of knew what they were doing. The lady gets into a little bit of a debate with Jesus. Where are we going to worship? If you're a prophet, you know where we're going to worship. They say here, we say there. What's the answer? Well, you're going to worship in spirit and truth is the answer that Jesus eventually gives her. And she says, I know that we're waiting on the Messiah. I mean, she gets it, right? She's theologically up to date until his next line, which is, it's me. She was current until right then. What does she do next? She goes back into town. And with what I read as a little bit of disbelief in her voice, she says, there's this guy at the well who knows everything I've ever done. He can't be the Messiah, can he? You guys remember like the first time you understood what it meant that God knows everything you've ever done? It's this kind of dubious experience. We expanded off of the Santa Claus. He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you're awake. And we go, oh no. This really can't be good. He knows everything I've ever done. And the woman testifies, witnesses, confesses, evangelizes, preaches to the town. I didn't think women were allowed to do that. Huh. And the town eventually comes out and invites Jesus to stay and teach there. And if you caught the very last verse we read, the village eventually turns to the woman and says, we used to believe because of what you said, but now we believe because we've experienced it for ourselves. Is that not the task of the church? To say it and then let people experience the goodness of God for themselves? There's so much in this passage, but the important stuff is the stuff you know already. The water is important. Jesus is the Messiah. He talks to people you wouldn't think he would talk to. And after experiencing Jesus, you have to tell somebody, even if you're a little concerned about what it means. And one person's witness can make all the difference in the world. It changes a village. It brings believers out, and their faith is no longer the faith of the one person who saw Jesus. It is the faith of a village who have experienced the love of God. We sit here nearly 2,000 years removed from this story. And the only reason we sit here is because of people like this woman who meet Jesus, find out he knows everything they've ever done, and tell people about it anyway. Right? How many of you are here because mom and dad made you come here at one point in time? I'm not ashamed. Mom drugged me for years. Tim's only here because his dad got paid to be here. I have two of those myself in the room, so who can say? At some point, though, right, mom's not big enough to drag me to church anymore. So the faith had to transform in the way it does in this village from you believed and that was good enough for me to I believe. I believe that the man who stands at the well, who knows everything you've ever done, knows everything I've ever done, and loves us anyway. That's the tricky part of this thing, right? Is that somebody's actually got to be telling the story for the next people to hear it. We have done Super Bowl Sunday for 15 years now, ish, maybe longer. We've done spaghetti dinners for a decade, if not more. We've celebrated Easter for 110 years here. We tell those stories time and time again because they need to be told time and time again. Partly because we need to hear it. We're almost as slow as the disciples who in this story end up basically asking if somebody went to McDonald's and brought Jesus a snack. But partly we need to hear it to remember what it is to tell it. This is a 42-verse lesson that we almost never read all 42 verses of. We stop after Jesus tells her he's the Messiah. And in doing so, we miss the part that applies to us. The people who are surprised that Jesus is talking to us. The people who are convinced we aren't good enough for the Messiah to talk to us. The people who really want living water. And we miss that our challenge is to go back amazed, excited, wondering, and wonderful, and tell people about this really odd man we met at the well who changes everything. We tell this story again and again and again, because we need to practice hearing it and we need to practice telling it. So I hope you remember more than 26 million pizzas and 1.3 billion chicken wings. That's a lot of chicken wings. And I hope that you go from here to tell people about the man who met you at the well and who gave you the living water. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.